and welcome back to the Elite Takeover podcast, the podcast where you can hear our opinions on all of the weekly wrestling shows going on. And of course, we are on the build to Survivor Series this weekend. We will have predictions going up tomorrow and Survivor Series. As soon as the show's over, we will have our review going live for you. But as always, I am your host, Aiden, joined by
Raph.
And if you want to check out all of our stuff, check out our YouTube channel, the Elite Takeover, our gaming channel, the Elite Takeover Plays. Obviously, if you're listening to a podcast app or on all the major podcast apps, give us a like, subscribe, ratings, all these things, all the typical things that you know what to do to go and help us grow. It really helps us. So let's go and get on with the go home episode of SmackDown before Survivor Series. Not that it really
not very
felt,
much go home.
Yeah, it wasn't great. It didn't really feel like a go home show in the slightest. There's been such little build for Survivor Series, so such little build. But we start off the show with a cold open with the Street Profits backstage. Being honest, just typical Street Profits doing, like, when they, it's back to when they first came up originally and they were on Raw, and they would just be used to, like, promote.
Yeah.
Which is what this was. They just promoted Survivor Series.
Promoted The Undertaker.
Montez Ford doing the eye thing. But then the gong, and they get scared for a second because someone's peeking up over the table with a hat on.
With a Mexican hat.
With a Mexican hat. And it's Big E. It's the only hat he could find in the props department. They get into a bit of an argument with about who's going to win at Survivor Series between the Street Profits and the New Day. But just typical stuff. The Street Profits say all they do is win, no matter what. Got money on their mind. I don't know the rest of the lyrics. Every time I step into the building. Anyway, Big E says the Woods and Kingston are here, and Big E does the intro for the New Day because he hasn't moved on in the slightest.
And it's nice to hear him doing it.
Yeah, but it's 3 weeks later.
Yes.
It makes no sense.
Yeah.
Like they've only just left.
Still wearing the same attire.
Big E is he's literally matching what the New Day is wearing with their new attire. It's matching. He hasn't made any changes to what he's doing.
What's the point of separating them then?
Yeah, there's no separation here. There's no... Big E hasn't got anything in... Like, honestly, it feels like they have nothing for Big E.
Yeah.
Like, I understand... So, let's talk about it for a second. Let's talk about the Survivor Series thing, because it very much seemed like Big E was going to be the fifth man.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what the rumors and what in the news people were saying was that Big E was going to be the fifth man on the team. And he was supposed to have a qualifying match last week, but it didn't happen due to time constraints. But this week they've given Otis the final place on Team SmackDown. Whether this be, like, let's think about it in a positive way. Maybe perhaps this is because they don't want Big E being on a losing team because they have big plans for him.
Yeah.
But let's be more realistic. It's probably just because they don't have any plans for him.
Yeah.
Like all this hope that I think everyone had for Big E being this big main eventer, this like potential Roman Reigns, Big E, WrestleMania match that people were hypothesizing about, or like something big in the future for Big E, a big title win. Don't look like it's coming anytime soon.
No, not anymore.
They've really pushed him down the card. Like him just hanging out with the Street Profits.
Yeah.
He doesn't even come out to help the New Day. It doesn't make any sense. It's really odd. So back to the beginning of the show. What's your opinion on Otis being put into the Team Survivor Series?
I was expecting... Team Survivor Series. I was expecting that by the end of the show, something would have happened. We would have had... Like, Big E would be upset with them or something, and they would have a match to decide who would be the fifth man. I was kind of expecting like Big E to win against Otis, and that didn't happen.
Yeah.
So I'm a bit like, okay.
But also, why didn't you just put like realistically, I know they haven't done any build for the SmackDown team in the slightest. Like even on this show, there's no build between them. There's no interactions between
them. There's nothing.
Like they're just all completely separate individuals. There's literally nothing. Even the Women's Survivor Series got 2 seconds more.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I was going to say. They had like a whole thing on... Not a whole thing, but they had a thing on the ring.
They stood in the ring together and they went, yeah, we're happy, we're a team. But like, surely if you wanted to take this somewhere a bit more interesting, you could have Murphy on the team.
Yeah.
I know, like, we had the match tonight, but, like, Murphy could have won this match, and then Adam Pearce could have been like, yes, Murphy, we want you on the team.
Yeah.
They could have had Brian on the team.
They could have had so many people but Otis.
Yeah. Like, especially, like, I like the idea of his, like, the thing with Chad Gable, but I think that's going to be quite good. This Alpha Academy stuff, like, give Chad Gable his own little stable of people or whatever. Yeah. But it's not something, he shouldn't be in the Survivor Series, though.
No.
Like, The Miz isn't on the other Survivor Series team. Tucker isn't on the other Survivor Series team. Mm-hmm. Honestly, like, we have this Battle Royal on the pre-show. Why aren't we having Otis and Tucker in that Battle Royal together? Yeah. I don't see why we're not. I know Tucker means absolutely nothing, but you may as well blow off this feud somehow.
Yeah.
Have them in a Battle Royal on the pre-show together. Otis can throw Tucker out. At least then he gets his little revenge, and then Chad Gable can celebrate with him, and then they can get chucked out by someone else. But hey-ho. But starting off the show properly was the New Day in the ring, doing the typical New Day stuff. As I said on Raw, I still find the New Day a little bit boring at the moment.
Yes. Yes, it's kind of,
It's grating on the hype. It's grating on me.
I've kind of lost my plot point halfway through. Not even halfway through.
They just talk too much. They ramble. Yeah. For me, it's like, in terms of AEW, some people complain MJF talks too much. MJF doesn't get to the point. And I feel that's, I don't find that with MJF.
No.
But I find that same point with the New Day.
Mm-hmm.
That they clearly are not given much of a script anymore.
Yeah.
And they can just talk however they want. And you can tell this by, like, if you watch, like, there was the little thing they put on the WWE Twitter over the weekend, during the week, with the New Day and the Street Profits just taunting each other, essentially.
The Fleet. The new Fleets on Twitter.
Is that what they're called?
Yeah.
My goodness.
Yeah, I know. I know.
But yeah, and they did that stuff, and, like, Woods and Kofi talked a lot. And they had more personality in it because they are used to just not being scripts anymore. Mm-hmm. They just talk wherever they want. Whereas the Street Profits, clearly, as much as I think they're very good at coming across like they're improvised, they are clearly very scripted.
Yes.
Especially Montez. Like, you look at how they
coach. Yes, Montez definitely is scripted. Yeah.
Well, both of them are. But Montez is very good at doing what he does, but it's very scripted in comparison to the New Day's kind of
rambling
improvisation they do now. Essentially, the idea of what they say in the beginning of this promo is that the Street Profits want the smoke, but they don't want the fire that's going to be coming from the New Day. That's basically it. They pretend to be Taker for a second because they're still building this Taker thing. Then they kind of drop it for the rest of the show.
Yeah.
They push the Taker thing really big at the beginning of the show, and then it kind of disappears. Like, they have a few of the video packages, but... But yeah, Sami Zayn comes out for no reason and says that The Undertaker is hiding from... He's going into retirement because he doesn't want to deal with Sami Zayn's revenge. Sami Zayn is going to get his revenge for that time a year ago, or I think it was a year ago, where Undertaker took him out at Madison Square Madison Square Garden. And Sami's like, I'm the Intercontinental Champion. Give me some give some respect on my name. And they call him a divorced dad. Corbin then comes out. The member of the SmackDown Survivor Series team comes out, and he's like, yeah, you two don't belong here. That's kind of it. That's all they say. No reference to the fact that he has a match on Sunday particularly. Like, at least Sammy mentioned Bobby Lashley.
But, yeah, he did.
And then we have Dolph and Robert Roode come out because... they're the only tag team on SmackDown. Like, we were talking about this earlier. I don't understand why Shinsuke and Cesaro didn't come out for this.
If they wanted to do this,
if they wanted to do this silly 8-man tag, why not have it be Shinsuke, Cesaro, Rude, and Dolph versus the New Day and Street Profits? I think they've done that match before, but still, it's like, who cares? It's a nothing 8-man tag. It doesn't mean anything. Rude and Dolph are upset. Dolph says he doesn't like Sammy and then says he'll get into it later, but he never gets into it later. It was kind of odd. They say they're upset with the New Day. The New Day and Street Profits swapping the tag titles cost Rude and Ziggler an opportunity they wanted at the titles. So they want the Raw tag titles tonight. The New Day decide, okay, why don't you guys all wrestle? you guys can have a tag team contest here tonight, and the winner of this tag team match can face us for the Raw Tag Team Championships, even though we're on SmackDown.
Yeah.
And then they were like, yeah, yeah, okay, we can do that. And then Rude and Dolph just attack the New Day. And then out come the Street Profits to save. They go wild and get everyone out of the ring, and obviously we go into an 8-man tag instead of this tag team thing that the New Day said.
The question is, where's Big E?
Yeah, that's the biggest question. Why on earth didn't Big E come out to go and save the New Day? Yeah. He did their intro for them. He was backstage with the Street Profits. It makes no sense why he didn't come out. I understand, like, it is sensible for him not to come out. Mm-hmm. In terms of storylines, if you want this to be like a big deal when the New Day come back together, you don't want all this stuff. But then perhaps you shouldn't have had Big E doing the intro for them and be backstage with the Street Profits. Doesn't make any sense. This match doesn't make any sense.
No.
This match was fine. It was a typical 8-man tag. Nothing special. Kofi, the Street Profits and New Day doing really well at the beginning. But Kofi accidentally hits Montez Ford, which allows the heels to start taking control of the match. Sami Zayn is kind of bossing them around, shouting orders, refusing to tag into the match. But at the end of the match, it all breaks down and ends up with just Angelo Dawkins, Robert Roode, and then Sami Zayn on the apron. Roode goes over to Sami and forces Sami to come into the ring with the tag. And then Sami eats a spinebuster, and then he eats a splash from Montez Ford. 1, 2, 3. Your Intercontinental Champion lost in 10 seconds of being in the ring to the SmackDown Tag Champs.
None of this
makes
sense.
None of this makes sense. Like, this was all silly. Yeah. I don't agree with any of this. Like, I was saying,
why did Sami take the pin?
Why wasn't it Dolph or Roode? Like, they're not in a match at the pay-per-view. They're not doing anything.
You should be building the people that are in the pay-per-view, not...
Like, why completely make Sami look like nothing before going in to go and fight Bobby Lashley?
Yeah, exactly.
At least give a hint of hope that he has a chance.
Yes.
Because he clearly has no chance. And it's like all the work they did, like, building up to Clash of Champions with that big triple threat match with Sami, Hardy and Styles. Mm-hmm. All the work they did that, and Sami being so clever in how he won the championship. Yes. All of that's just been killed.
Losing in 10 seconds now.
It's gone. It's all gone. He's back to being nothing.
Yeah.
He's still like the guy who for some reason they've decided he isn't a wrestler, even though he's one of the best wrestlers in the world.
Yeah.
And they've just decided, nah, he's not a wrestler. He's just
a promo dude.
He's just a promo dude who annoys everyone.
Yeah.
He's an annoying person. That's what they've just...
And right after the match, same thing happens.
Yeah, like, we go backstage to go and see Daniel Bryan. He's getting ready for a promo with one of the backstage people. I think it was Charlie. And Sami comes along and Sammy's complaining about how he wasn't holding the tag rope. It wasn't a legal tag. This shouldn't have happened like this. They should have the match turned around, thrown out. Gets in Daniel Bryan's face because Daniel Bryan laughs at him. Bryan pulls up his mask and then eventually just pushes Sami Zayn over. And Sami's like, oh, I won't forget this, Daniel. I won't forget this, and runs away. And then Bryan's like, I believe in social distancing.
Yes.
Ugh.
It annoys me.
It's very frustrating with Sami because Sami's one of my favourites. And to see him being, I know, like, it's just the way he's treated. It's just the way it is. But it's not, I don't particularly enjoy it. Like, we were talking earlier about this whole entire thing, like, would have made so much more sense. They already had, like, Raw people coming over. Why didn't you have, like, you had, like, all the champions come over, essentially, apart from Bobby Lashley.
So why? Yeah, you did.
Yeah. Like, they all came over during the show. So why not just have Bobby Lashley and the Hurt Business come out? Like, instead of having the cold open with the Big E there, get rid of all of that nonsense. You have the New Day do their promo. You have the Street Profits come out. They do their little back and forth, whatever.
Mm.
And then the Hurt Business comes out because they're upset to the New Day, what happened on Raw, where they lost their championship opportunity. But they're also here tonight because Bobby Lashley is going to make an example of Sami Zayn going into Survivor Series. And then at this point, the New Day and the Street Profits kind of taunt them. They get into a big brawl, like what happened. And then you have an 8-man tag there. But then instead of having... Then the way you get around all of this, you just have Sami Zayn come in, distract Bobby Lashley. He doesn't have to get anyone up on Bobby Lashley. He just had Bobby Lashley just chases Sami off and Sami runs away, which then allows the New Day or Street Profits to pick up a victory.
Yeah.
Like, it just makes so much more sense it really does make so much more sense instead of like this cluster.
Yeah. It was such an... It only took 15 minutes to build up to the match.
It was half won by the end of the match.
Yeah.
Like, we'd lost a quarter of the show to this.
Yeah.
This entire first hour is just trash, honestly.
Yeah.
Daniel Bryan cuts a good promo, to be fair. Bryan and Seth cut good promos, but apart from that, it's all rubbish. So once we come back from the break, Bryan is now... He's forgotten about Sammy. He's now moved on to his actual thing he cares about, which is Jey Uso. Cuts a very intense promo about Jey, about what happened to him, saying that Jey is a devil on his shoulder, being Roman Reigns, of course, telling him what to do. But Bryan has a devil on his shoulder that's telling him how he needs to get the revenge on Uso. He needs to stop him because of all the stuff, like his daughter seeing him in hospital bed, all these things, all these horrible things, and he needs to get his revenge on Jey Uso. And it's nothing personal being the thing, because Jey Uso said that about Bryan.
Yeah,
it was a good little promo. Bryan's cut his hair weirdly.
Yes,
he looks like a college professor.
Trying to get on with the teenagers.
Yeah, not really in a good way. It's not... I don't think it's a good look for him. He looks like he's having a bit of a midlife crisis. Honestly. Like, each their own.
Yeah.
We go to Adam Pearce backstage. Like I said before, he gives Otis the last place in the SmackDown team. And Chad the Gable was very excited for Otis. But he also has to go and decree for the SmackDown women's team. Apparently, he's allowed to pick one member for that team as well.
Yeah.
So Matali comes up to him. She's very upset because she's the boat. She's the best of all time and she wants to be on the team.
If you picked Otis, why can't you pick me?
Yes. All this nonsense. Natalia is very upset about the fact that she's not on the team, even though she's lost 3 weeks in a row.
Yeah.
And he's like, you've got a qualifying matchup next against Tamina, but Bayley's on the team. It's like, cool, that's fine. Bayley's on the team. That's great. I'm glad. Genuinely, the SmackDown team is actually quite good.
Yes, it is.
Like, genuinely, it is. We go to Rollins having a promo, saying that before Murphy joined up with Rollins, before he took him under his wing, Murphy was nothing before him. Murphy wouldn't have met Aaliyah. Murphy would be all by himself. He would have nothing. And Rollins has had enough of being stabbed in the back. He will no longer suffer for Murphy's mistakes. He will make Murphy back to being nothing. Good intense promo from Rollins.
Yeah.
Say another match later tonight. Now we get the SmackDown Women's Championship. The SmackDown Women's Survivor Series qualifying match between Natalya and Tamina. Before the match even starts, so Bianca Belair is on commentary. Before the match starts, Bayley's music hits. Bayley comes down to commentary and she essentially just goes, I'm the captain.
Yeah.
I'm the captain of the team, which Bianca's got a little bit of an issue with. She's kind of like, you didn't have to qualify for this, though.
Yeah.
While this is going on, the match is already over. It's about 30 seconds long.
Yes.
Natalya taps her out to the sharpsuit shooter in 30 seconds, really. It's nothing. Natalya is super, super excited. She's hugging the ref. She kisses the ref.
She kind of reminded me of Lana a bit.
Yes. Yeah,
like
she did.
The way she got excited and everything.
It was very similar to what Lana's been doing.
That's why I thought when Bayley came to the ring, she was going to hit her or something.
Fair.
Made me really think of that.
Yeah. Bayley gets in the ring. She's all happy and excited for Team SmackDown, her being the captain.
Natalya hugs Bayley and Bayley's very uncomfortable about it.
Yes, but she's still happy for Team SmackDown. Ruby and Liv come out from the entrance way and Bianca stays on the commentary desk. They're all kind of standing on the outside. But Bayley's like, come on in.
Come on.
Come on. And Ruby and Liv are like, oh, smiley faces, let's get in the ring.
Yeah.
And then Bianca's like, okay, fine, I'll get in as well. They all stand there, Bayley in the middle, and they're like, ah, Survivor Series.
Yeah. Which was a nice little moment. It was a fine moment.
I'm glad they have a team.
Yeah, exactly. Took them long enough.
Yeah. I'm glad they have a team. That's literally all I have to say. There's no build, there's no story here. So.
No. It's a good little team, but that's all we can say.
Like, why didn't you do this week? Why didn't you put Bayley into this weeks ago and have the tension between Bayley and Bianca? If you wanted to do that, why not just do it?
Yeah.
Maybe Bayley wasn't supposed to be on the team.
I was going to say that, maybe.
Because maybe the idea was that it would have been... Because obviously Liv wasn't supposed to qualify last week. It was supposed to be Chelsea Green. She was supposed to win the match, but broke her wrist. What if it was supposed to be this week that Liv ends up winning the match.
Yeah.
And then Natalya ends up getting her way into the match some other way. And Bayley wasn't supposed to be anywhere near it.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe Bayley was supposed to still be floating around the Sasha stuff. I don't know. Who knows? We don't know. But we now get to the best bit of the night, which should have been the main event. And I don't know why it wasn't. Because this was the actual build for Survivor Series.
I know it wasn't a match or anything like that, but it was so good.
Yeah, but it's just Drew and Roman. It's your two top guys in the company. It was brilliant. This was superb.
Mm-hmm.
So they have the table out, obviously chair on each side, and then Adam Pearce is out there at the head of the table. Drew comes out first, sits on his side. Out comes Roman. Well, he comes out. They play his music. He comes about 5 minutes later.
Yes.
He's taking his own time. He takes all the time in the world to get down to the ring. And then he's like, he looks at Adam Pearce, and Adam Pearce gets up and gets out of the chair so that Roman can have his seat at the front of the table, at the top of the table. Because, of course, it's brilliant. I'm glad it's such a clever, it's just a simple thing, which you wouldn't necessarily think of, but it's just perfect.
Yeah.
Roman is very chill and very happy.
They're both very contained, but like in a very good way.
Yeah, it's really intense, but really like, also, like
civilized,
civilized.
That's the word
intense.
I was looking for.
It's like if you're watching like a TV show, and they're sitting around the table. It's like watching The Sopranos or something.
Yes.
Roman knew that Drew would win. He knew that Drew could do it, and he knew that he would win. He believed in him. And Roman's been through what Drew is going through right now. The right guy, in the right place, at the wrong time.
Dun dun dun.
Drew's like, no, he's not going to get upset. I'm not going to let you get in my head.
Yeah.
I'm not going to make a big brawl out of this. That's not the point. He wants to get straight to the point. He signs the contract and he's passing over to Roman saying, this is your show. You do your thing, essentially.
Yeah.
But he won't let go. And he gives Roman a little bit of advice. Tells Roman to underestimate him and advise him to spend the next 2 days to get ready for war. Roman is not happy about this in the slightest. He doesn't like the fact that Drew has offered him advice. That's not what you do. Roman is the head of the table. He's the tribal chief. Only the, I forgot what they call Paul Heyman. I've forgotten. The advisor. The advisor to the tribal chief is the only one who's allowed to give him advice. He owns WWE. He's the head of SmackDown. He's the top champion. He's very upset. But Roman tells Drew that that Drew won't understand this brutal truth right now, but calls Drew a secondary champion.
Ooh.
And that Drew only gets something when Roman doesn't want it. He only gets to be the second. If Roman's busy, then perhaps they'll call on Drew. But if Roman's there and Roman wants it, they'll call Roman because he is the number one guy, not Drew. He is the champion. Drew is just the secondary champion. And when Drew eventually gets to where Roman is, he'll thank Roman. He'll thank him for all these lessons that he's taught him along the way. And Roman will always love Drew.
Yes, I love that.
You'll always be my favourite number two. Oh, it's really good stuff.
It's
really
good
stuff.
Such a good one.
And it's such an interesting match of where this is going to go.
It's going to be a hard one to predict.
Yeah, it's really tricky to predict this one. Like, oh, I have no idea, but it was brilliant stuff between
it's
these
so
two.
Good.
Should have been the main event.
Yeah.
Really should have been the main event. But yeah, brilliant stuff, and really looking forward to the match.
Yes. It's like one of the only things I'm excited about the Survivor Series.
Yeah. Apart from Taker, I guess.
Yeah.
I'm not excited for Taker, but I think it'll be interesting to see what happens.
I'll cry.
It'd be nice to say goodbye to him.
I'll cry.
Yeah, you will. You love Taker.
Mm-hmm.
Next up, we go into the best match of the night, I would say. I think it's better than the main event was. Murphy versus Rollins. Only just. They were very similar. Where this, like, last hour was a lot better. Apart from the Sasha and Asuka stuff, which is a bit pointless. But the Murphy and the Mullins and the Bryan and Uso and the Roman and Drew stuff, all really great. Murphy comes out with all the Mysterios behind him. He has a new thing which says Messiah Slayer on his trousers, which kind of may have foretold the ending of this match a little bit. But I was still very happy when Murphy won. Even though I saw that, I was like, I still don't believe Murphy's going to win. I don't believe they're going to give him the win.
I kind of expected him to win. I kind of hoped for him to win.
Well, I hoped for him to win, but I didn't trust WWE to give him the win.
Fair, yeah.
Especially after Rollins losing to Mysterio the night before.
Yeah.
And yeah, fair. And that he ain't going to be surviving a Survivor Series either.
No.
Like, he's going to... Because we're very clear... Because obviously he's going away to go and have his baby, so... But...
Paternal leave.
But yeah, I kind of... The only thing that bothered me with this was that Murphy hasn't changed his gear yet.
Yeah.
It felt a bit weird for Murphy still to kind of be... Well, obviously he has the new logo on there, but apart from that, he's still wearing the same stuff he wore as the Disciple.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a little bit odd, but hey-ho. But a really good match. Rollins managed to tie up Murphy in the ropes early. Goes for a kendo stick because he's very obviously upset.
I don't care if I get disqualified.
Exactly. He doesn't care if he gets disqualified. Ray and Dom try to save, but Seth attacks them both. Murphy gets loose and they all get back into it. Really nice spot where Murphy is on the top rope and Rollins just literally pushes him off.
Yeah.
And he flies into the barricade. And then Rollins kind of gets a little bit creepy with Aaliyah on the outside.
Oh, God.
I was kind of concerned for a second, but they didn't left that alone very much. The Mysterios keep on trying to support Murphy the entire match, hitting onto the ring apron, trying to GM
up.
The whole family, apart from Mama Mysterio, she wasn't there.
Yes.
Angie. Really good stuff. Seth Rollins manages to catch Rollins. Seth Rollins manages to catch Murphy with a stomp through the second rope, which was nice and kind of out of nowhere. But Murphy managed to get his foot on the rope. And then we get into a really quick ending sequence where Rollins essentially keeps trying to hit the stomp. But every time he tries to hit the stomp, Murphy kind of catches him with a V-trigger knee.
Yeah.
Murphy should really have a name for it. I feel bad calling it the V-trigger knee. Like, it is essentially a signature move. But they are just V-triggers. He gets the V-triggers to escape out of the stomps. And then Murphy gets the Murphy's Law. And he takes a long time to get to the pin.
He does. He thought he wouldn't get it.
He was crawling over and it really felt like it was like, okay, he's going to take too long getting to the pin.
Yeah.
But he gets the pin and he's won. 1, 2, 3.
Yeah.
Murphy's Law. He gets the win. And as soon as he starts celebrating, Sasha Banks' music plays.
Yes.
That sucked.
Thoroughly. Like, they were celebrating and everything on the ring for like 10 seconds.
If that.
Like, because obviously the family comes in and, like, the Mysterios start hugging Murphy and, like, Murphy's all beaten up and everything, but they're still, like, all celebrating and everything. And then suddenly you just hear...
Sasha Banks' music starts and they just care about Sasha Banks, which is a shame because, like, this is the biggest win in Murphy's career.
But it's like he hadn't even left the ring yet.
Yeah,
it's
he deserved a bit more than what they gave him for that
win. I hate it when they do that.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like they haven't done that in a long time, but whenever they do it, it just really annoys me.
Yeah, it should have been a special moment for Murphy. It also should have been at a pay-per-view.
Just a little bit disrespectful, I find it.
Oh, yeah, no, it is. I agree with you. But yeah, it's a shame this couldn't have happened at a pay-per-view.
Yeah.
But obviously, with Seth going away and stuff, there wasn't any way to drag this out to TLC or anything.
Mm.
But anyway. Who knows
if we'll see it later on.
Who knows? But, like, let Murphy go. Like, Murphy versus Sammy would be great. Give me Murphy and Sammy. Like, that's someone I don't mind beating Sammy for that title.
Yeah.
I don't mind Murphy winning that title off him.
Yes.
If they let Sammy wrestle, because they would have a great match together if they let Sammy wrestle.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so Sasha comes out and we come back from the ad break and then Asuka's magically in the ring. Michael Cole's interviewing them. Well, he's interviewing Sasha. He isn't interviewing Bailey. Asuka in the slightest. It's kind of weird because Sasha kind of flip-flops in this promo, kind of between being a bit heely and being pure face.
Yeah, I noticed that. It's weird.
It's also weird because they're kind of considering this continuation of their feud over the summer, which it really shouldn't be. They should be very separate now. I know, obviously, Sasha did beat Asuka for the championship and Asuka won it back, but there should be some kind of divide.
If you wanted to have done a build-up, they should have done it from...
If they wanted to do something, not just do it on the SmackDown before Survivor Series and go, we haven't built this match. Asuka hasn't been on TV in weeks.
This is the reason
doing
why
something
they
significant.
Are fighting.
Yeah, it doesn't... It's silly. And Asuka doesn't take this serious in the slightest. She just does other people's catchphrases.
It was a little bit weird.
Yeah.
She wasn't her incredible Alaska self.
No, it didn't work for me.
I don't know if they like gave her a script or something, being like, go this part, you speak a little bit of your nonsense, and then you say this or you say that. Like,
don't call it nonsense. But yes.
You know what I mean? Just like,
yes, I understand what you mean.
Silliness.
Yeah. But yeah, but it was just her going, at one point going, oh, you better call somebody, and then doing the you can't see me.
Mm-hmm.
And then she ends there with, you're not ready for Asuka or whatever. I've become one of her catchphrases. But yeah, it's all a bit, nothing happened. Sasha kind of flip-flopping really didn't work.
No.
Like, she was trying to be intense, but her being intense is very Healy. But then later on, she just got into like, proper like,
you're so funny, Asuka.
You're so funny, Asuka. We just, yeah, didn't work for me. No. Like, the match is going to be good. I'm not taking anything away from the match itself. Exactly. But there's no build for this, and Asuka needs some new competition.
Mm-hmm.
And Sasha's new competition came, yeah, hopefully Rhea Ripley. Hopefully we'll see her on either Survivor Series or Raw. That would be great. Thank you very much. Mm-hmm. But Sasha's next competition comes in, continuing to be awful. Carmella attacks, kind of. She touches her foot and slightly pulls her over.
And Sasha does very all slowly. The work.
Yeah, it's not.
No.
It's not good. And I get Asuka not being involved. I get that. Like, Asuka not necessarily caring. Asuka maybe should have had some kind of response.
Because
she literally just stood where she was standing before.
Looking.
It was like the meme of .exe has stopped. Asuka.exe has stopped.
Error.
Yeah, error. Error, error. Asuka has become robot. She was just still, not doing anything. There was no reactions. There was no nothing.
She wasn't laughing. She wasn't...
She had no care about what was going on. And that's fine. You can have no care. But she had no emotion at all.
Yeah.
She was a blank slate. Tabula
rasa. It was a little bit weird, that segment. I just don't...
It was very odd.
It was so odd. I didn't understand.
It's very odd. It didn't work.
No.
We get a promo from Jey Uso backstage, hyping up the main event.
Ooh, sorry.
What was that?
I don't know.
Jey says, Charlie asks whether he's actually allowed to talk. And Jey's like, I can talk. I've been there. I've got the gray. I've got the light. I've been given the green light. I'm allowed to talk. And he's like, I'm allowed to talk. I'm allowed to beat up Brian and finish what I started. And the Jey is responsible for his own actions. It isn't Roman Reigns being the devil on his shoulder. He's responsible. He wanted to do it. He did it.
He wanted to put Daniel Bryan through the decision. Table.
Yeah. He decided to do it. Good promo from Jey.
Yeah.
And it's very impressive how they've worked with Jey to get him to feel like a big deal. It's really impressive.
We were talking about this earlier, just like how... Like, we always knew that he was great because tag team, him and his brother is just incredible.
Him and Jey and Jimmy.
We knew they were incredible. We just didn't know how good he would be as a singles person and how much he would get pushed up. And it's just so nice to see him as a singles person.
And then giving him the respect of that. And hopefully when Jimmy comes back properly, they don't just squander what they've done with him. Hopefully that's the kind of thing that worries me slightly. But we'll wait and see.
And it's really nice to see, like you were saying, how usually the followers of the person in the stable usually are the ones taking the losses and stuff, but Jey has taken two wins.
Yeah, Jey beat Daniel Bryan and he beat Kevin Owens.
Yeah.
Two massive victories.
Yeah.
And sure, he came up short tonight, but it was a roll-up victory.
Exactly.
It took Daniel Bryan getting lucky to win this match.
Yes, exactly.
Like, Jey had this one. But yeah, like you look at Seth and Murphy as an example.
Exactly.
As a very recent example. Murphy took all the losses for Seth.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. Main event, Bryan versus Uso. Good match, lots of fun. They kind of play around with the announce table in the first section of the match, teasing who's going to go through it, till eventually Jey manages to put Bryan through with a back body drop through the table, which looked brutal.
Mm-hmm.
Really nice. This match picks up a lot in the second time once they get back from ad break. Jey manages to get Samoa Joe. Samoa Joe's here.
Your
What's
English
going
is
on?
Great today.
I know. To be fair, maybe that's... No, we shouldn't do that.
What?
At WrestleMania, maybe Samoa Joe will finally be back and we can have Samoa Joe versus Roman Reigns.
Nah, it's all right, thank you.
No. It's all the Samoans.
I know, it's all a good thing. No.
I don't actually want that either, to be honest. I want Samoa Joe back, but I don't necessarily want him in that position. So yeah, as I was saying, there's a nice spot where Jay gets a Samoan drop, but Brian manages to pull it back into a roll up, gets into the yes lock, but Jay manages to roll out of it and then starts punching and kicking, properly beating him up, kicking him into the kidneys.
Yeah.
Brutal, like being like how you'd expect someone just to beat you up on the side of the street, to be honest,
yes,
a little bit.
Yes.
They manage to get to the top rope and Brian hits a massive back suplex onto Jay. He goes through his yes kicks and he's getting ready for the B plus, but Jay catches him with a super kick and then Brian's down to his knees. Another super kick. Brian's on the floor. He gets back up to his knees. Another super kick. Jay goes up to the top with a big splash, but Brian just manages to get his knees up and then slowly somehow manages to roll over and gets the 3-2 win for the night. And then Daniel Bryan stands tall to end the night.
And does the yes.
And does the yes off the air. But anticlimactic. It was a really good match. But anticlimactic in terms of build for Survivor Series.
Out.
Yeah, and maybe like Roman or something. Yeah.
And then having Drew come out as well after Roman.
That would have been a good shout if they had a little bit of physicality maybe. But I think they just should have had the contract signing be the main event.
At the end.
It would have made more sense than how this worked out.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a good match. Good match, just a bit of a lackluster ending going forward to Survivor Series. But yeah, so that is all for us today here on the Elite Takeover. We will be back tomorrow with our Survivor Series predictions.
Mm-hmm.
And then after Survivor Series, we will have our post-show Survivor Series results and review. Thank you very much for watching. We will see you next time.